Enter webcasting from somewhere in Chicago. It's the Give Me Cake or Give Me Death show with your host, George B.
That's right. Hello and welcome to another episode of Give Me Cake or Give Me Death. I'm George B. This is episode 5, and I'm recording on June 16th, 2012. It's another hot day in Chicago. It's like, every time I have to do a podcast, it's going to be hot now, and I have to turn off the air conditioners and fans, and because you all know what's going to happen. So I had a wonderful experience this morning. And the air conditioner's running, well, just one running, the one out in the living room, and I go turn on the second one, and hey, guess what? It's working for about 5 minutes, and then it just completely shuts down. I can't get any life into it. I turn it back on. I've unplugged it for a while. It's not like the power went out in that area or something, like there's a, you know, a switch that was have to be reset or something. No, it's just dead. It's dead. I'm gonna have to wait a long time before I get that sorted, so it's fun because we got a wonderful week of 90-degree weather for us in Chicago. This is great. So, summer is coming with a vengeance, even though it's not here yet, and it's gonna be a ride. Gonna be an interesting, wild ride here. Just like this show. So what else happened? I have been working a lot too, so I haven't been able to work on the website. But I'm trying to get these shows out no matter what. I want to be consistent. I want to keep doing these shows. I don't want to stop because I don't want to get used to it. I'm like, oh well, I'm busy, so I'm not going to record a show. Oh my god. And then next week, oh I'm busy again, so I'm not going to record a show. And then people are just going to be like, screw this guy. Obviously he doesn't care about his own show. So I don't want to do that. And I've got all these ideas. This is sometimes the only way I get to really talk about all the interesting things that have been on my mind during the week. I talk to people at work occasionally because I know that we're all busy and we're all extremely busy at this point at work, more so than usual. And same thing is going on with my family and friends and the people I still talk to and on a regular basis, at least. But so I'm kind of sitting there like, no, I get stuff and these ideas and things going on and I don't know what to do with them. And I have an outlet now, so that helps. That helps immensely. That way I'm not Mr. Dent showing up all the time calling people, hey, what's going on? I got an idea about this. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Because this is the time of year I get stir crazy. The time of year that I'm like, well, I need to do something. I need to go out. I need to stay busy. Because, I don't know. It's weird. I don't understand. In the winter, I do feel like hibernating. Like, oh, I'm just going to stay in where it's warm and play some video games, work on some creative projects, read, watch some TV, and not really do a whole lot of talking. But now it's like blah 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 blah. And that's exactly what I sound like. No, I'm joking. But you understand. I hope you understand out there in listener land. All the trials and tribulations of everyday life. The little obstacles like a bump in the road. And avoiding all the potholes wherever you can. And oh shit, there's road construction. We've had a lot of that going on too around here. Road construction. It's what they say in Chicago. There are two seasons, winter and construction season. So, you know, I'm just going to have to use all my crazy mad zen skills to try to calm down, de-stress whenever things are getting crazy, whenever I'm stuck in traffic or whenever work is so busy. And I also miss those late night chats I used to have with people on the weekends where we can talk about a lot of the subjects I talk about on my show and we just keep going. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, it's 5 in the morning. Let's all get breakfast. And That was great. And we'd do that at, like, someone's house or apartment, or we'd go to, like, this local restaurant that's open 24 hours and shoot the shit. And so I do miss a lot of that. A lot of those people aren't around anymore in my life for whatever reason. Some of them got married. Some of them just moved far away for work reasons and stuff. So it's a little sad. And I have two people that I talk to about that stuff often. One is, like, way to hell south of me. One is way to hell north of me. And it's like, great. When can we all find time? And it's not a lot of time that we can find to get together and do this stuff. And I hope to have one or both of them on the show at some point, because the stuff we come up with is just ridiculous. So there it is. That's kind of where I'm at right now. A little bit in limbo when it comes to things. I'm just so busy. Busy not always doing the things I want to be doing, but it's life. It's not a big deal. It's temporary. At least that's what I tell myself. And I'm sure many of you out there can sympathize with me and have similar situations going on. So it's been an interesting week. It's been another quick one. And I have plenty of interesting topics to talk about after the break. I'll be talking to our friend Blake Borchard. He's got some interesting stuff that's going on in his life. And I will also be talking about social Darwinism and that sort of thing as the last topic of the show. So stay tuned. Give me cake or give me death. That's what you're listening to. At least I hope you are. Be right back.
I've got a spoonful of loving, girl.
New from Run of the Mills, it's Sexy O Cereal.
Sugar frosted O's.
Sexy O Cereal is a part of a nutritious breakfast and brought to you from G-Lo Red.
Sexy marshmallow X's.
Now you can have breakfast in bed every day with Sexy O's.
Giving X's and O's, hugs and kisses.
Sexy O's, it's an orgasm of flavor.
Got a taste to treat and it can't be beat, girl.
So try some Sexy O's today. It's breakfast so hot you'll need to light up a cigarette after you're finished.
G-Lo Red here, and girl, you ain't tried nothing like my cereal. I'm glad you stay for breakfast.
And now for a limited time, in every specially marked package of Sexy O's, you can receive a free glow-in-the-dark condom inside.
So try some Sexy O's.
Sexy O cereal. Sounds gross. Anyway, I'm back, and we have our friend Blake Borchard with us. Blake, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, actually.
Why do you sound like you're still whining?
This is the way I talk, alright?
What was that for? You're, like, starting to whine. And
it's just the way I talk. I'm happy right now. You don't understand. I'm so happy.
Why are you so happy?
Because Brenda is back. She's back into my life. She dumped at football player, and we went on some dates. We went to the ice cream place, and we went to the zoo, and we saw animals. And guess what?
What?
She bought me a Hawthorne Heights t-shirt. I wear it every day now.
Every day? Oh, hopefully you wash it. I would not want to know what that smells like if you don't wash it, especially in the summer. That's just nasty. You just need to take care of that stuff, okay?
Oh, no girl would hang out with you if you're like, oh, I smell really bad. Look at that. Oh, look, I didn't wash this in 2 months.
Yeah, that would just be gross.
Whatever, man. she likes me. She really does. She said she would be with me forever.
Forever. Yeah, all right. Well, okay. I totally believe that.
What's the matter? Can't you just be proud of me? Don't you understand anything? It's love.
Yeah, I doubt it. Yeah. Look, I don't mean to piss in your Cheerios here, but this isn't really going to work. You're just going to be back where you started from. You said that you're not seeing the therapist anymore because you're so happy with Brenda's back, blah, blah, blah. And you're just going to end up just where things were before. She's going to like, oh, I'm tired of this. I'm going to go be flaky and go somebody else now. And you're just going to be all like miserable writing more shit about her. Like, hey, you can write some poetry. Come on. Don't you see what is coming here? That shit never works. That just doesn't... I don't know where to start with you, man. Excuse me. I don't know where to start. That is just ridiculous.
You're ridiculous. Whatever. You're just jealous. You're jealous, man.
No, I'm not jealous. I'd rather be not in a relationship than in a fucked up one, okay? Don't you get it? Don't you see what's going on here? She's just messing around with people. You're just getting all hung up on her, and what you need to do is work on you. You're damaged goods, man. You haven't gotten your shit together. So why? What are you making? What are you trying to do here? I don't get it. You guys are just ruining all the opportunities you have in your young lives to try to get things straightened out so that you won't have to be in this fucking miserable cycle for the next 10, 15, 20 years, depending on how long you want to keep up this charade. I mean, seriously, dude. God damn it.
But I just...
No, just shut up right now. I don't want to hear it. Okay? Listen, I'm going to tell you a little story here.
Here we go with the stories. You and your fucking know-it-all stories, okay? I just... Why can't you be happy for me?
Because I'm not. Alright? What, do you want me to kiss your ass and have this fake...
Oh... I'm happy for you, dude. You know, just like, good luck with your forever relationship, that fucking fantasy land that you live in.
No, man, I care. I actually care, so I'm going to say something, all right? I'm not going to give you a bunch of shit and have you just ruin your life. I'm sorry. So, there was a time where I dated someone on and off, and it just didn't work out. And we were better off being friends than trying to make something work that wasn't going to work. There's too much tension. Things were just not really making any sense. So, not everything is meant to be a relationship. And not every person, of course, is meant to be in a relationship with you. Even if there are things that are plenty of things in common. There needs to be something more to it than feelings. People can have feelings for each other, and they come and go. And during the course of a successful relationship, they're sort of going to come and go. Not every day is going to be magical, okay? It's just the way it is. But what keeps it going is this connection that goes beyond any of that. This willingness to be together and to work it out together. And it's not chemistry, it's more like alchemy. It's so deeply ingrained in the molecular level of how this just fucking works. And you know it, and everybody knows it, and it makes sense. And that is when you know this is, not necessarily forever, but it's definitely something that can stand the test of time. It's definitely something special. You don't have that, okay? I'm not you. I don't know exactly what's going on. other than these circumstances that you've laid out here, and that is not what's going on at all. And of course, you guys are still so immature about everything that things are gonna get fucked up. And I think maybe you should, you know, come to think of it, I should let you fuck up. I shouldn't try to stop you, because how else are you going to learn? You're just gonna listen to what I say, one ear and out the other, and you're gonna be like, whatever, man, and you're just gonna do what you're gonna do. So life sometimes is the best teacher. I can't substitute that at all. I can't be a good substitute teacher for life. You suck, okay? You're pissing all over my Cheerios, like you said. And I hate you. I fucking hate you, man. You're an asshole. All right, just shut up for a minute. What do you see behind you? Take a look behind you. What's over there?
A wall in a mirror.
Yes, great. Look right into that mirror. What do you see?
What are you, some kind of smartass? Obviously, it's me in the mirror.
Yes, it's you in the mirror. So, who are you going to be for your whole life, for the rest of your life? Who is going to be there no matter what?
Brenda?
No. God, have you heard anything I've been saying? You are going to be with you for the rest of your life. No matter if someone else is there or not, you are going to be the one common denominator through it all. So, obviously, from what you've told me and what we've discussed before in previous episodes, you're miserable. You don't even like being with yourself. So how are you going to really like being with other people through, again, the cliche, thick and thin, all the bullshit that goes on, all the great stuff that goes on? How are you going to be there for that person if you can't even be there for yourself? Just think about that for a minute. Yeah, it's exactly what you should be doing. Listen. Look. I took that from another show. Anyway, you need to be alright with you. You need to learn how to live with you. You need to understand you. You need to go into the darkest shadows of your own psyche and find out those wonderful things about yourself, the not-so-wonderful things about yourself, and reconcile the two and realize that, hey, you're a human being. You're two sides of one coin. You're yin and yang. You're all of this combined. You're not supposed to be this perfect person, and there is no other perfect person that's going to sit there and complete you. You and yourself are a complete entity. You are just only forming a bond with another entity. That's all it is. You understand? It's like, if let's go back to the molecular kind of way of looking at things. You have two molecules. If one molecule is unstable, then the bond that they make is unstable. Do you understand that? The mixture is unstable. It's like salt and water, like pure salt, not like sodium chloride. We're talking pure sodium. Put it with water and boom. That's what you and Brenda are. You see how that works? I'm not making this shit up here. I've been around long enough to know what's going on. So I really want you to think about that for next week, and we'll have this discussion again, okay? And go see your fucking therapist. God damn it. Why did I unmute your microphone?
I don't know what to do.
I just told you what to do.
I don't know what to tell Brenda.
Here's what you tell Brenda. Look, Brenda, I have feelings for you, obviously. I mean, that's just the way it is. You'll have feelings for the wrong people and the right people over the course of time. But that's just natural. It happens. But the right people, everything is going to work. And like I said, it's going to make sense. So just be her friend. She's flaky. Obviously, she's trying to discover what she's all about. Why don't you help her with that while you help yourself doing that? And don't like try to help her. If you can't even, first of all, if you can't help yourself, then you can't help anybody else for at all, for shit. So, but try to be there instead of like, Brenda, you're a dick. Didn't you like my impression of you? It was great. Instead of doing that, or instead of diving all the way in to the quote-unquote relationship, just be honest about the situation and just try to do what you need to do. You need to be a man. Just sit there and go, here, I'm drawing my line in the sand. This is the way it is. This is what I have to do. So, there. And go about it that way. If you can't do that, then shit, you can't do any of the really important stuff that's going to show up in a relationship. You won't be able to, you know, get through those times that are going to be less than wonderful. So, there it is. That's my rant, okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm a little harsh. I'm sorry I come across as like, just do it. But I'm passionate about this because I don't like seeing people suffering. I don't like having to deal with that around me. Bad enough I had to witness my parents' terrible relationship over the course of my life. I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. So, please. Okay? Please, please do what I told you to do. You can't go wrong.
Alright. I'll think about all of this that you said.
And play the show over again if you want, if you forget.
All right. All right, George, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye now. Take care. I have to do the news. Thanks for stopping by, Blake. I mean that. All right. Time for the news.
And now, stupid news.
Hey there, that's right. It's time for stupid news, and we have our friend Walter Sally with us. Walter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, George. I just got back from Minneapolis. I was at the furry convention. Yeah. I like dressing up as a big goat. And I met this lady who likes dressing up as a bunny rabbit. Yeah.
Okay, well, all right. Sounds like you had some fun. That's great. I'm not sure what to do with that or what to say about that, but okay, good. Glad you're doing fine. So, Walter, looks like you have a story that you found, and would you like to read that there? I almost sounded like Southside Pat. You'd like to read that there? So anyway, go ahead, Walter.
Yeah, this one is out of Florida. The United States is a appendage. Yeah. Teacher tells students to cut and burn themselves to rid demons near St. Pete Pier. St. Petersburg, Florida. And what St. Petersburg police are calling a weird religious ritual, they have arrested 35-year-old Danielle Harkins for encouraging several teenagers to cut and burn themselves. The cutting was said to release evil spirits from their bodies. And that the cauterizing of the wounds with fire was to prevent the spirits from getting back in. Sorry about that. The events happened close to St. Petersburg Pier downtown. Police say only two of the teenagers were actually cut. According to authorities, she caused second-degree burns in an attempt to brand one of the students' hands with a cigarette lighter. Because of windy conditions next to the pier, the flame wouldn't stay, so she poured perfume on the wound and set it on fire. Harkins was arrested after one of the teenagers told his friend about the incident. The friend told the victim's father, who in turn called police. Harkins was a literacy skills teacher at Lelman Asian Neighborhood Family Center in St. Petersburg and worked there for 4.5 years. Yeah. She had formed close bonds with several students at the center, and it was revealed that two of the students that joined her for this ritual were previous members of the center. Harkins was going through a difficult time, including a divorce, and she recently discovered religion. The center's executive director, Carolyn Chance, had no idea that Harkins was planning this meeting. She was arrested and charged with encouraging bodily harm, and bond was set at $55,000. Oh, that's a lot of money. She has been relieved of her duties at the center pending investigation.
Okay. Interesting story there. So, what do you think about that, Walter? Is there any specific reason for bringing this story?
Well, since Florida is shaped like... I just thought it would be interesting. Yeah, burning.
All right. Well, let me tell you what I think about this. I think this is grotesque, and that's kind of an understatement. This lady is, like, all going crazy with her religion and getting these kids involved in this stuff, like, oh, burden yourself and get the demons out. Yeah, I'm sure she didn't sound like that, but that's how I picture everyone who's crazy to sound like this. Get the demons out of you. And, yeah, cutting. What is going on here? It's like they're cutting their arm or something, and then, like, the demons are pouring out, and ooh, and then we gotta cauterize it, we gotta burn this, make sure the demons don't go back into the cuts. Well, crazy lady, how did the demons get there in the first place? Is that when, oh, someone cut themselves, and a demon just kind of walked right in, just like, hey, look, I'm in here, Let's start pushing some buttons, controlling some levers, and get this person to do stupid shit. And, well, newsflash, stupid shit is what teenagers do. So I don't think it's demons. I mean, that's what I'm guessing. So, ladies, obviously batshit crazy. End of story. And these kids are idiots. Some of them even followed along. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, all right. She must know what she's doing. She's an adult. So those kids suck, obviously. They're dumb. And there are no winners here in this story. So, yeah, Florida looks like the crazy place that it is once more. So congratulations, Florida. You suck. So... yeah. Any other comments and thoughts on that, Walter?
When I was at the Fluffer Convention... wait, that was another... I mean, the Furry Convention. The Fluffer Convention was last year. I met someone from Florida, and she was into candle wax burning, and it was hot.
Yeah. Okay, alright. That's a thought on the subject, so we'll take it. This is stupid news, so what can I expect? A lot of stupid shit, obviously.
Why do you say that? I think this stuff is great. It's a lot of fun. George, you should try it. Quit being so uptight. You should get freaky once in a while.
Look, I appreciate your concern for my well-being in some regard. I just think that... mind your own business. How about that?
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, Walter, thanks for joining us for the newscast. I'm glad you're doing well. Everything's going okay, and that you're out there meeting people who are interested in the same stuff you're interested, so that's great. Great, great. Yeah, just get the fuck out of here.
Okay, I gotta go meet some people anyway about a dungeon. Sorry.
All right. Walter Sally, everyone. Walter Sally for Stupid News. Now we have our friend Southside Pat. He is back. He has wonderful things going on. Isn't that right, Mr. Southside Pat? How's it going? All right. Yes, Southside Pat here, everybody. And George is good to see you. I'm in a very good mood today because I just won an autographed Polycanerco bat. And I love to display it right next to my trophies of when I played baseball in high school. And, of course, I didn't play any sports after that because I had some injuries and started packing the pounds there. Well, that's great. Well, I'm glad you're getting something that you like. And sure, I'm glad you're happy. I'm glad you're doing okay. So what else is going on there, Southside Pat?
Well, I also... my mom also got it some extra money there from my work. She got a bonus, so she said I can go to Toys R Us and pick out anything I wanted, just like the old days. And so I got a bunch of big pack of baseball cards. Figure I'd add it to my collection and, you know, make some money after a few years there. So I am very excited about that one. I do have my Polycanerco card from when they won the World Series there. Unlike those Cubs. Yeah, the Cubs ain't gonna win a World Series ever again. I'm gonna make damn sure about that. Even if I had to walk into the world's largest gay bar, Wrigley, and throw something out in the field or catch a ball like that to what that one guy did. He caught the ball when that one guy could have got it, and they lost the playoffs there. That was awesome. That was really fucking funny. I pissed my pants laughing. And, yeah. That was awesome there. Hello? George, are you listening?
What? I dozed off there for a minute. I'm sorry. I guess anything that has to do with baseball, I just start, like, getting sleepy and just out of it. And I was daydreaming. So, what were you saying?
What the fuck is going on here? What do you... Jesus Christ, I come on the show and I talk about stuff, and you don't even give a fuck, don't you? You don't give a shit about anything I say. You're just, you're fucking smarmy... with that one word that starts with an A, I can't even fucking... Arrogant, smarmy, arrogant, asshole. So you're an S-A-A. Yeah, that's one of those other words that name with an A. What do you call that there?
An acronym?
Hey, don't fucking correct me. Well, you got a fucking... Oh, I read books, I'm a smart guy. Fuck you.
All right, whatever, dude. I'm going to have you read a story, okay? So you said you can do the news in your sleep or whatever shit you were telling me. So just read a fucking story and let's get going with this new segment here. All right, fuckface, I'll read a story.
This one was out of Panama City, Florida. It's kind of a Florida news dater. Man arrested after holding six kids at gunpoint. This is in Southport. A 67-year-old Southport man was jailed Wednesday after he allegedly held six children at gunpoint when they used his driveway to turn their off-road vehicle around. Jerry Lee Fulcher, was arrested and charged with one count of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and six counts each of aggravated assault and false imprisonment, according to the Bay County Sheriff's Office. He was being held in Bay County Jail without bond pending a first appearance in court Friday. The six children, who are between the ages of 4 and 16, told investigators that they were riding an ATV and turned into Fulcher's driveway at whatever. I'm not going to read the address. It's just bullshit. The turnaround at about 8:30 p.m. Wednesday. They believed the property was vacant, but a man later identified as Fulcher came out the house pointing a handgun at them. He ordered the kids to put their hands on their heads, get off the vehicle, and lie down on the ground. The 16-year-old driver apologized, but Fulcher cocked the hammer on a revolver and pointed the gun at the driver's head and told him he'd be the first to go. He kept his finger on the trigger. Another child attempted to garner some sympathy from Fulcher, telling him it was one girl's birthday, but Fulcher was unmoved. And he said, well, this will be a birthday she won't forget. Two of the children were praying. Fulcher was agitated throughout the incident, repeatedly asking the driver if he understood what would happen to him if he pulled the trigger. Fulcher ordered the driver into the house, where he locked the door behind him. The teenager was ordered to call his mother so she could pick them up. The mother arrived and confronted Fulcher about displaying the weapon in front of the children. Fulcher kept the gun to his side, and he warned her not to come any closer. So the youngsters got in the car and dialed 911 as they drove away. After interviewing the children and parents, investigators learned Fulcher also had reported the incident. In the 911 call, Fulcher apparently admitted to brandishing the gun and detaining the children. So when investigators arrived at the house, he opened the door. Fulcher was wearing only boxer shorts. The gun was on the counter, and police found several other guns in the house. Well, I think you can do a little better at reading next time. It was a little flat, so I just wanted to point that out there. Good try, though. Good try. Not bad for a sports commentator. You're a real asshole. You know that? You're a fucking asshole. The only reason I come on this show is there's no games going on when you're fucking doing it. Anyways. Yeah, it was some bullshit there. What would happen if I were playing baseball? Like, I'm a kid and I hit the ball and it goes through a window, like what happened to Mrs. Stevens down the street there. You know, what did she pull the gun on me? That would be some bullshit. You know what I'm saying there? Oh, yeah, of course. And this guy is obviously fucking whacked out. And it gives a whole new meaning to get off my lawn. It's way too extreme. His kids are turning around driveway. Apparently, they didn't think anyone lived there at the time. And he was just like, oh, goddamn kids turn around in my driveway. And I'd understand, like, pulling out a gun if they're, like, some real assholes and they're doing, like, wheelies and spinning around in the driveway and just like, fuck you, old man. And we're like, yeah, we're gonna fuck up your house. You know, if they did stuff like that, okay, well, maybe you can threaten them a little bit. I would understand. I mean, I probably wouldn't go that route, but I would understand that more fully rather than, you know, a whole bunch of kids, various ages, obviously going for a little ride, no big deal. And this guy overreacts like you wouldn't believe. So, Florida sucks again. You suck. And I don't ever want to set foot in your state if I can ever help it. So there it is. Do you have any other thoughts on that, Southside Pat? Hey, no, but I have some floats on you there, George. Here we go. Here we fucking go. Yeah, that's right. Here we go. George, every time I've been on your show, you've been very insulting. You have this, it's a C word I'm thinking of. I can't remember that right. Confident? Cool? Collected? No, asshole. Cavalier. And a cavalier attitude about yourself and that you fucking know everything, okay? I'm so sick and tired of your shit. So, I'll have to tell you, Jagoff, next time you give me a bunch of shit like this, I'm going to have to teach you a lesson, okay? I might be 47 years old, I might be packing on the pounds, but I can still kick your ass, all right? You do understand this is a comedy show, right? That this is part of, this is the shtick. This is what we're doing to try to entertain people. If we're just having a very flat newscast where everyone is just like, and here's what happened yesterday at 2 o'clock this morning, blah, 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 blah. Then people will be like, oh, why am I listening to this shit? I can just turn on CNN and listen to like garbage, you know, on any of those channels, not even bother downloading, going through the extra act of downloading this guy's fucking show. So we're just trying to be entertaining here. I'm just trying to mix it up a little bit. So I'm sorry if you get your panties in a bunch, but you need to just settle down and roll with it. I would be fine if you just kept it up like you should and just like dish it back and just keep having a, you know, some fun banter, but instead you're just like, I'm Southside Pat. You're hurting my feelings. And I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to be a real asshole, but I'm just joking around. I'm just messing with you, okay? Do you understand? I wouldn't have you on the show if I didn't think you were worth having on the show. I would be like, that guy's an asshole. Why would I talk to him? You get me? Hey, come on. You know, where I come from, this stuff is insulting. You talk like this. You talk like this in Bridgeport, and people will kick your ass, okay? So, I don't know who you think you are, but this is how it works, okay? So don't be fucking around, joking around with me, because I'm not going to take shit from nobody. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Bridgeport. Fucking Mayor Daly's from there, guy. Mayor Daly. Well, he's not mayor anymore, so whatever. I don't care. This is the fucking mean streets of Chicago. Where you're from, your little fucking wimp area of Chicago. Might as well be the north side, even though it was farther south than me. You know what I'm saying? You're just a know-it-all. You're just a goddamn nerd. And an asshole at that. Well, fine. Well, no, actually, this is what I want to hear on the show, so just keep it up. This is great. Whatever. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm going to go home. It's hot in here. You don't have your air conditioner running when this fucking show's going on, so I'm going back to my mom's basement, and I'm going to watch some, I don't know what I mean, some ESPN, drink some Coors, go fuck yourself. I'm out of here. All right, well, we'll all shed a tear because you're running away like a little baby. Hey, come on. Go fuck yourself. All right. Well, that's the end of Stupid News. And what did we learn today, kids? That Florida sucks. So don't go there. And here's a break. And it's Give Me Cake or Give Me Death with George B. Yeah, here's the break.
Thank you.
right, welcome back. That was a little keyboard piece that I performed there. I've called it Wind, and in the future I'll have more of my own stuff for breaks as well as commercials and so forth. So that would be coming up in future episodes. All kinds of fun stuff I have planned ahead here. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about social Darwinism. Now, social Darwinism is not a term that was created by Darwin, and it was created by Herbert Spencer, a sociologist in the 19th century, who is basically proclaiming that when it comes to social structure, survival of the fittest is and should be the way to go. And by what I mean by that is, if you weren't smart enough or clever enough to create an invention or to create some sort of innovation that made you become more well-off financially and livelihood-wise, then it's your fault. No problem. You're going to have to deal with your life the way you live it, the way you choose. Or if you, say, grown up in a place that isn't very great for growing crops or any of that stuff, then you're starving. Oh, not my problem. You choose to stay there. So we're not going to feed you or help you out or anything. It is basically every man for themselves when it comes to social structure and economics. And I don't agree with that at all. To the contrary, another sociologist, Peter Kropotkin, from around a similar period, had the observation that he noticed that in nature, the animals that seem to work together well and actually adapt together to conform to different environments, to work towards the same goal, are the animals that seem to be better off, that seem to stand the test of time. And one example of that could be ants. Of course, ants have a social order that they all work together for the common goal, for the survival of their nest. And look how many millions of years they've been on the planet. So that could be one example. And he noticed that, hey, human beings, we're only as well off as the person who's the least well off. That's how we should be looking at it. If someone is suffering because they can't afford to pay for their health care, or they have a temporary situation where they lost their job, they can't find another one of an equal value, well, then we should help them out just temporarily. I'm like, hey, here's a little boost. Here's what we should do. And we should set up our society based on cooperation rather than competition. That's what I believe. And that's what actually seems to work. Right now, we do have social Darwinism that seems to be the increasing fad when it comes to economic policy, when it comes to how things are kind of governed and ruled. And you hear that a lot more these days in the news and with our so-called leaders who are like, well, you know, you weren't smart enough to do this, so screw you. Or, oh, look, you were a victim of Hurricane Katrina. Well, you shouldn't have lived down there, so screw you. And that's what we're dealing with. Oh, you have cancer because you live near a nuclear power plant or something? Oh, pff, your problem, not ours. And that's the whole thing. They are moving to this trend of, we're going to pretty much dump all of our problems on everyone else, and we're going to cut our costs at doing business by this method. We're going to sit there and, oh, we don't need to clean up the air, we don't need to clean this up, we don't need to worry about fracking or anything, because there's social costs. Everybody else will deal with the problems. We're making money, and that's all that matters. It's the American way. And that seems to be just leading to disaster, if you ask me. I think things are totally going to hell if you keep this up. We need a society, we need an economy that's built around cooperation, caring for the environment, caring for each other, and understanding that there are basic human rights, and basic human needs. And you can't put a price tag on that. You shouldn't be able to put a price tag on that. Basically, what these people are doing is they've amassed all the resources and all the wealth, and they're strong-arming everybody else. I've got mine. You get yours. Fuck you. That's what we're dealing with right now. And it's not right. I don't think it's a left or right issue. I think it's a matter of what makes the human race better off. Is it cooperation or competition? And I definitely don't agree with competition. And I think, yeah, there's a healthy competitiveness that should exist in certain arenas. But I'm not talking about it should exist in a marketplace. It should exist in the way we set up our society. It should exist in fun and games. It should exist in that arena of life. Play. Oh, we compete to have the best song or the winning a game and doing this. That's it. That's where it fucking belongs, okay? It doesn't belong on the main stage of human existence. So, Ayn Rand actually came around and was one of the people that seemed to have this social Darwinist point of view and wrote many books that have inspired many economists like Milton Friedman and people like, I can't even remember his name right now, but he was the Alan Greenspan, that's right. Federal Reserve Chairman, helping make monetary policy basically for the last 20 years or so. And so we had to put up with that shit. And look where we're at now, everything is a lot worse. So obviously that stuff failed, just like authoritarian communism does. Hey, guess what? Having control, having centralized control over everything, doesn't fucking work. Especially with an increasing population. Especially when we have all this shit going on. We need cooperation. We need to figure out what the fuck is going on. What is to our best interest. And we need to go there. And damn everything else. Okay? You take your institutions, you take your traditions, and you take all of these things that everyone has turned into a religion and has lived their life on that doesn't fucking work, and we abandon this, and we start from scratch, and we go, okay, what do we need to do here? This is what we have. This is what's going on. Let's step into reality. And some people go, George, you're an idealist. You're dreaming. And yeah, okay, it's probably not going to happen within a generation, but we need to start thinking along these lines. We can't be thinking the same old thoughts, propping up the same old dead ideas, and going for it, and living our lives at this shallow, one-size-fits-all, throw things into two or three categories, with this fucking juvenile black-and-white philosophy on things that seems to be the prevalent philosophy. I don't agree with this, okay? I think we can do better. I think we need to do better. And I think we need to look at what's going on with us on a scientific level rather than an emotional, irrational mob rules mentality. We need to sit there and go, here's what we need. Here's what we have. Here's what we should do about it. And go from there. Because we can't have an economy that is based on expansion. Okay. Like capitalism is. Like, oh, the economy needs to grow. And our market share needs to grow. And this needs to grow. And until what? Until there's no fucking resources left? Until everybody starves to death? Until, like, five people have all the wealth and everybody else just, oh, they're dead now because, well, they couldn't fight back. They didn't have anything to fight back with, and they're starving. To what end? Until we destroy not the planet, because the planet will destroy us before we destroy it, because, hey, Mother Nature is a smart gal. But to what end? Seriously, do you think this shit's going to go on forever? It's fucking selfish of you, especially when we know what we know now about how everything works. So, it's insanity on a mass scale, and I don't like being a part of it. Of course, I'm not living in a hut somewhere. I like technology. I like all of our wonderful things, our way of living, and I would like to maintain that, hopefully. But in a conscientious way. In a way that seems to work. In a way that doesn't involve us fighting each other constantly. So, that's what I believe. And I think we really need to start, again, it's a cliche, thinking outside the box. Getting out of our caves and seeing the sun for the first time. And realizing that, hey, there is more to life than things that we can grasp. There's things that we can also imagine. And that's what imagination is there for. That's what idealism is there for. It's for innovation. It's for moving forward. It's for progressing. It's for evolving. If we were meant to do the same things for perpetuity, then we will not grow. We will die. And if we have institutionalized Dark Ages thinking, then we're definitely not growing and definitely going to die as a species. That's what I believe. So, thank you for listening to Give Me Cake or Give Me Death. I know this is primarily a fun kind of an interesting show, usually. But I don't mean to bum anyone out. I really want everyone to not only think about these things, think about what their own kind of opinions are, what their own possibilities and things that they can imagine of how to make this dream happen. And understand that there is light, there is life, there is a future. We just have to take it upon ourselves to work towards it. It's not going to happen overnight. But to just say, oh, it's a dream, so we're just not going to bother. It's ludicrous. It's lunacy. Our ancestors, they were able to invent many wonderful things in the forges and to put us into the situation that we're at now. As flawed as it is, it's still much better than other times that humans have lived in history. So, obviously, there is a trend we have to follow, and we have to keep going forward rather than backward. That's all there is to it. So thank you for listening to Give Me Cake or Give Me Death. I'm George B., and have a wonderful week.
Cats and dogs are very interesting with human beings because we have a pet relationship with them. And with the only animals that do this, you know, giraffes do not have pet gazelles. Gazelle, go and run in Africa. You know, they don't say that. And we have pets because they lower our blood pressure. This is apparently officially it, but they lower our blood pressure. And I don't know quite how they do that. You stroke them, you go to sleep. And while you're asleep, the dog puts one of those big puffy things. And it's 180 over 60. What does that mean? I don't know, I'm a dog. Actually, when doctors do that, they take your blood pressure. They're not actually taking blood pressure. They're just fucking around with this. They've actually got a jumpy spider behind your back, and that's what they're doing. Because I saw one once. So you've got a jumpy spider behind my back. He said, yeah, that's what we do. It's a jumpy spider time. All of the jumpy spiders. The jumpy spiders. It's true. Yeah, so anyway, that's what they do. The dog takes your blood pressure and you fall asleep and the cat drains all the blood from your body and sells it to one of those mobile blood banks. That's why sometimes you wake up feeling all anemic and seeing your cat and dog counting out fivers as a van pulls off. Have you ever had that? Yeah. Well, I don't know, they lower our blood pressure. You stroke a dog, dogs go, ooh, and cats go, because they're drilling, aren't they? That's what they're doing. They're drilling, they drill for gold. Drill for oil, they drill for anything, just for the love of drilling. When you're behind, they're behind your sofa, they're just drilling. They've got goggles on, it's okay. There's a compressor over there. Your friends come in and say, I think your cat's drilling behind your sofa. I don't think so. That's purring, that noise. Cat, are you drilling? And the cat hears this and whips off the goggles and says, no. Drilling? No. No, I'm a cat. How would I know how to drill? Well, that's purring you're thinking of, Bevick. Yeah, purring. Oh, yeah, it's purring. I mean, good old purr back here. No drilling. No, okay. Sometimes they drill 40, 50 feet, you know, down. Just for the hell of it. Cats are much cooler than dogs, though, aren't they? Cats have a scam going. You buy them food, they eat the food, they go away. That's the deal. You have no control of your cat. You can't say to your cat, heel, stay, wait, lie down, roll over, because the cat will just be sitting there going, interesting words. Have you finished? And while you're shouting all this at your cat, your dog's right next to you going, what the hell are you doing? I'm talking to the cat.
Oh, sorry.
You wouldn't even dream of training your cat. Cat, come for training. Now, hello? They just don't care. They just piss off. And you get the dogs and cats eat dog and cat food, and you do this new improved cat and dog food thing, and I don't know how you tell whether cat and dog food is new and improved. Do humans go, lovely. I mean, dogs just eat anything. Dogs go, da 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 da, whatever that is. And you say, oh, is that, is it new improved? Does it taste good? And the dog's going, I don't know. Oh, it's all over my shirt now. Jesus. Just want to read it. Cats are much more choosy. Cats sort of look through the food. Okay. Right, so this is? New improved, is it really? Is it really? Well, I'm going out. And they walk up to the cat door and they just stop at the cat door and turn around and go, keys. Well, your dog can't go out. Your dog goes, oh, can I go out? And you go, no, I'm busy at the moment. But the cat went out. Yes. And I can't go out. No. He has a cat door, you see. Oh. And why? Well, I have no idea. Which was the first cat that persuaded a human to put a cat door in? They just do. We throw sticks for dogs. That's the level we have dogs at. You never dream of throwing them on for a cat. You throw sticks for dogs, and dogs go, oh, he's dropped his stick. Better go and get that. So you drop your stick there. And I'll bring it back. And you hang on. Did you see me just bring that back? And then you dropped it again. Very weird, I don't know what's going on here. Now hang on to it this time. I don't want to piss about all the time, you know. Just think I enjoy this. There you go. Don't fucking throw it! That's why the third time when they come back, they won't give it to you. They go, no, you won't throw, you take it. And the cat door thing is like one of those, it's a vertical version of those saloon bar doors where gunslingers, you know, in westerns would push their way in and say, I've come for you, Jed McGee. And everyone in the bar would say, you've come for who, sir? Jen McGooder. Jenny Gooder. The Gooder family. Oh, I'll go away then. And these expensive westerns, the cats have seen them on the telly. You watch a cat coming into the kitchen. Sometimes they just come in just like gunslingers. They push their way into the cat door. And just stand there on one hip. And all the dogs in the kitchen will stop moving. Dog eating the food. Another dog playing piano. You get the tail out. Yes, and cats are allowed out because they're more responsible. They go outside, a fast car comes, and they go, ooh, it's a Mazda. Whereas dogs just go mad. They get outside, gotta chase. Car. They chase cars up to 4,000 miles. They catch up with the car. Tag, you're it. And cats sleep up walls, 6-foot walls. They just go whang, like a like, poof, land perfectly. turn and walk and backflip and forward flip and dismount. And they always land perfectly. They never do that sort of wobbly gymnast. You never see a cat on the wall having a problem, do you? You never see a cat going, fuck it, I'm not sure about this. Cat on the ground going, easy, Ginger, I'll walk you down. Yeah, that's it. It's